Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 in your Bible. Pastor, thank you for giving me the opportunity to teach tonight on soul winning. I am thankful for the opportunity. And Brother Scott, if I can get a thumbs up once I'm ready to go with the slides, that would be great. What's that? Amen. Amen. We're going to get done early, folks. We're already on slide 7. Woo! Hey, Brother Scott, Pastor said for me to be done at 5 after, so taking him seriously. I'm sorry, Brother Scott. So we will start at slide number 1, and that'll be a blessing. So Matthew chapter 4 in your Bible, please stand, and we're going to read verses 18, 19, and 20. Matthew chapter 4, and please read verse 18 and verse 20 with me. This is Matthew 4, 18, 19, and 20, and if you can read with me on the evens. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. Tonight, we're on our fourth week, and our lesson is drawing the net. Drawing the net. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into the lesson tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in church. Lord, we're thankful to be here tonight, and I pray that you help me to have the words to say as I teach on soul winning. And please help me to be a blessing and an encouragement to folks tonight, Lord. And please help everyone to receive a blessing from this lesson. Lord, we love you and we thank you for bringing us to church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In these verses, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and as he's walking by the sea, Peter and Andrew are throwing a net into the sea, and they're probably using a drag net. And in the Bible times, a drag net had wooden floats on the top, the top part of the net. The bottom part of the net would have stones in it, and along the bottom edge of the net, there would be a cord that was run through. And so once the fish started to swim into the net, they would pull on that cord, and the net would come together, and the fishermen would drag it either to the shore or into the boat. And when you have a fish in the net, you've got to be sure that you draw the net in properly so that you don't lose the fish. On Tuesday, as I was thinking about this, I remembered some fishing trips that my dad took me on in Virginia, in Chesapeake Bay. My great uncle Dave has a cabin on Chesapeake Bay and lives on the edge of Virginia there. And he would take us out on the Chesapeake Bay to fish for rock bass. And these were saltwater bass. And it was a lot of fun. Definitely the biggest fish that I have ever caught were there on Chesapeake Bay. And there was one trip stands out in my mind. My uncle pulled in a 43-inch saltwater bass. And that was the biggest fish I had ever seen in my life in person. And then the next day, he reeled in a 48-inch saltwater bass. And in that moment, when he had the 48-inch saltwater bass, he wanted to make sure that the fish stayed in the net when we were bringing the net into the boat. And on one fishing trip, my dad had a rock bass on the line, and he was reeling it in. He was bringing it in. And Uncle Dave would always tell us, if I have a fish in the net, I've never lost a fish once I get it in the net. That was something he always would brag about. I've never lost a fish. And he would always tell us, you know, hold the net with two hands. So my dad had this rock bass. He pulled it pretty close to the boat. It was still fighting. The bass looked to be 25 to 30 inches, and it was a big bass. And so it was putting up a really good fight. And my uncle went out, but he only had one hand on that net. And he put the net, around the bass. And all of a sudden, that bass started to fight, you know, for its life. And the net slipped out of my uncle's hand. And my uncle takes fishing very seriously. And he was very upset. I mean, he was mad for the rest of the day. I mean, all of us maxed out on the fish. We weren't allowed to catch any more fish. My uncle was still mad. He was upset. He was so upset that he had let that fish go. And he no longer could say, I've never lost a fish once I had it in the net. But, you know, in soul winning, when we're trying to show someone the gospel from a New Testament, we're trying to lead someone to the Lord. When we get to the very end, it's important to lead that person. If they believe in Christ, they've admitted they're a sinner, they know they're on their way to hell. It's very important at the end to draw the net and just help that person accept Christ as their Savior. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. number one on your handout, when soul winning, drawing the net is leading the lost person to accept Christ as their Savior. In order to be an effective soul winner, we must effectively draw the net. During the fall program, we challenged everyone in our church to get connected. And one of the ways that we were getting connected was by having a prayer partner. And Max and Ann had started coming to been in church for a couple of weeks at that point. And so I asked Max, I was like, you know, Max hasn't been coming very long, but I'm going to ask him. Maybe he'll be willing to pray during the duration of the program. So Max and I started praying each day, and that was a blessing, and that turned into a friendship, and I appreciate Max. He's been a blessing. And but we were praying, and we prayed for the prayer prompter, and then we began to pray for some of Max's family members. We prayed for his brother Cooper, and we would pray. I would hear Max over the phone, "Dear Lord, please help Cooper to get saved." I would hear him pray that each day. And Brother Coral came, and Cooper came to that service, and Brother Coral preached a salvation message. And we were excited. We thought maybe today Cooper is going to accept Christ as his Savior. We were very excited. And he had a job interview on, like, Sunday afternoon. So we had to slip out of the church service, I think, during the invitation or during the end of the message. So we were kind of like, we were kind of disappointed that he wasn't able to stay and get saved. But at least he heard the message. So I asked Max, I said, "Hey, what do you think about me going over to Cooper's house and witnessing to him?" And he said, "Well, why don't you come over to my house and I'll get Cooper to come over and eat dinner. And you and Abby can come over after dinner." So I said, "Okay, you know, that should work." So we go over to Max and Ann's house and we go in the living room and Cooper is there. We start, you know, chatting with him, talking with him. And Max asked me if I wanted some tea. And I said, "Sure, you know, I like tea." And so he goes and he gets me some tea. And I had never seen this brand of tea before. It was new. So I was like, "Okay, I'm trying a new sweet tea, you know, see what this is like." And I drink it. And, you know, honestly, it tasted a little bit different. And so I was like, "Okay, you know," I didn't say anything, but I'm like, "Man, I wonder where I got this tea from." So we're talking, and I said, "Cooper, has anyone taken the New Testament and shown you how to be born again?" He said, "No." And then Max said, "Hey, let's go over to the kitchen table. That way Ann and Abby can talk, and we can talk in the kitchen." I said, "Okay, that's great." And so I grabbed my tea, and we went over there. And so I'm witnessing to Cooper going through a plan of salvation, and Max has this look of death on his face. I mean, he's like, really. And finally, I'm like trying to witness to Cooper, but I'm looking at Max and I'm like, "What is wrong?" And so I'm like, "Hey, Max, is everything okay?" Like, I'm in the middle of showing Cooper how to get saved. I'm like, "Max, you all right?" And he's like, "Alan, that tea has 1% of natural fermentation in it." And I said, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay, well, keep this on the DL, because if Pastor finds out, he's going to fire me. I am definitely not allowed to do this, especially when I'm soul winning, you know? I mean, that's part of the soul winning procedure, you know?" So I finished my tea and then I continued to witness. No, I'm just kidding. No, I can say I did not finish the tea, all right? I didn't drink anymore. And we got to the end of presenting the showing Cooper how to get saved. And Cooper said this to me. He said, he's like, "I believe in Jesus." And he's like, "But, you know," he's like, "I'm not really sure what to say." And I said, "Okay, Cooper, well, let me help you. Let me lead you in a prayer. You can pray this prayer and you can trust Christ as your Savior." Cooper had already told me that he believed in Christ, that he wanted to get saved. And so then I helped him pray. I gave him some words. He meant it in his heart, but I helped him to pray and accept Christ. And it's very helpful for somebody new. They're nervous. They know that getting saved, they understand, wow, you know, this is a big deal. So it really helps to put the person at ease if you lead them in a prayer and just draw the net and help someone accept Christ. I need a teenager to come up here. Taven, can you help me out tonight? Taven, if you could come and stand right over here and be our lost sinner. All right. Now, this is the night to be the lost sinner, because you actually get to get saved. The last 3 weeks, they left lost. So I'm glad. I'm glad you're going to get saved. Okay. So number two in your handout is the third main point in the plan of salvation is Jesus paid for your sins by his death, burial, and resurrection. So last week we left off with the key question: without Jesus as your Savior, Taven, does the Bible say that you would go up or down without Jesus?
Down.
And that's not a place that you would want to go. And nobody wants to go down. Nobody wants to be separated from God. And Taven, God does not want you to go down either. God wants you to be saved. And so in the Bible, in Romans 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So, Taven, God looked at me and God looked at everyone and God saw that we were sinners. And so God sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin. And Taven, the punishment that I should have gotten, the punishment that you should have gotten, Jesus took that punishment on the cross. And he was nailed to the cross. And of course, the Bible says there was a crown of thorns on his head. He died the worst form of death a person could experience in that time. And Jesus took our pain. He took our punishment. He was crucified. He was buried in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. But on the third day, the Holy Spirit entered into Christ and he rose again. So, Taven, Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And Jesus has completely paid for all of our sins. He's covered everything. Sometimes at this point, it's helpful to use the illustration of owing money and having a friend come and pay off that loan at the bank. I've used that at times. If you think another illustration might help gain their attention, that's another thing that we can use here. But we want to convey to him that Jesus has completely paid for everything by what he has done on the cross. So number three in your handout, the key question, do you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to pay for your sin? If you remember, after every main point, it's helpful to ask a key question. That way they're responding. And so, Taven, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to pay for your sins? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, great. I can sense that you believe that. You seem, throughout this whole conversation, you seem like you've been listening, and you seem like that is what you truly believe. The next number on your handout, the fourth main point in the plan of salvation is Jesus invites you to be saved today. So at this point, they've admitted they're a sinner. They've admitted they're on their way to hell. They want to get saved. They believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins. So now we just want to convey, we just want to let this lost person know, Jesus wants you to get saved today. And so I'm going to take him now to Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10. Taven, I'm going to turn in my New Testament to Romans 10. Verse number 9, the Bible says right here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Taven, the Bible talks about confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus or praying, okay? And it also talks about believing in our heart. So this verse says we must believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Savior. And then we simply must confess with our mouth. We just need to ask him to be our Savior. The Bible makes it very simple. We believe in Jesus Christ and then we pray. So I'm just trying to convey to him the simplicity. We believe in our heart and then we pray and we ask Christ. Okay, number six in your handout, or number five. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that we must believe in our heart and that we must confess with our mouth. So we show the lost person those verses. And then I'm going to show him Romans 10, 13. And this is a great verse to show someone once you've explained the gospel, because this verse, of course, has a great promise that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Taven, look at this verse, Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Taven, what do you think the word whosoever means?
Anybody.
Anybody. Now, folks, I want to share something that's very exciting to me. God allows lost people to understand certain things. He allows lost people to understand the gospel. And it is amazing when you show a lost person that didn't grow up in church, you show them the word of God and you show the gospel to them and you say, what do you think that word whosoever means? When the Holy Spirit is working in their heart, I've heard so many people say anybody. And they understand that. They see it right in the scripture. They say, you know, anybody. That's right. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Taven, we could put your name in there. If Taven would call on the name of the Lord, he would be saved. And so that last word there, saved, that's what we've been talking about. Trusting Christ, being born again, being saved, It all means the same thing. And so now that we've showed him that, when I'm talking about him getting saved in his home, I will talk a little bit about in the book of Acts, people were saved in their homes, because there are some people that have it. They're not understanding they can just get saved right where they're at, in their living room or at their front door. So, Taven, in the book of Acts, the Bible talks about the church that was formed in Jerusalem. You see that word, Acts. And in Jerusalem, in that city, there were disciples. They were telling people about Jesus. They were telling people how they could get saved. And many people got saved in their home or just out on the street talking to another believer. And Taven, you don't have to get saved at a religious place, at a church. You can get saved right here in your living room simply by putting your faith in Christ and asking him to save you. So, number seven, we're going to get to a key question here. So this is the last key question in our presentation of the gospel. Taven, do you think that it would be better to pay for your own sins or to allow Jesus to pay for your sins?
For Jesus to pay for my sins.
Exactly. God doesn't want you to pay for your own sins. Jesus is taking care of everything. So, Taven, I would like to help you, and you can repeat a prayer after me, and you can pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Would you like to do that? If you say, Jesus, I believe in you.
I believe in you.
Please forgive me of my sins.
Please forgive me of my sins.
Please take me to heaven when I die.
Please take me to heaven when I die.
Please help me to follow you.
Please help me to follow you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Taven, did you mean that? The Bible says right here, Romans 10 and verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Taven, you just called on the name of the Lord. So, according to this verse, you are what?
Saved.
Saved. That's great. I'm excited for you. That's the best decision a person could make. And so, just leading him in a simple and short sinner's prayer is very helpful. That way, there's no apprehension about what to say. Now, there's several different prayers in the Bible that we could describe as sinner's prayers. In Luke chapter 11, there was the publican in the temple, and he just smote his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In Luke 23, the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. In Acts chapter 9, the Bible says the apostle Paul was trembling and astonished, and he said, Lord. Okay. And then he said, what will you have me to do? So there's not one sinner's prayer, but when you are leading someone in a sinner's prayer, I think it's good if you keep it simple and you keep it short. And you just direct the prayer to asking the Lord to save us. OK, calling on the Lord. Number eight in your handout. When you lead someone in the sinner's prayer, keep the prayer short and simple. So new converts have very little Bible knowledge at this point. If he's newly saved, he may have a little bit of church background. He knows that there's a God. He knows about Jesus, and he knows that Jesus has just forgiven him of his sins. But the new convert has very little Bible knowledge, so it is very helpful if I can answer at least one of his big concerns at this point. The number one question that new Christians have in their mind is, can I lose my salvation? Is my salvation going to stay forever? Okay. And John 10 and verse number 27, I believe that's the next one on the handout, teaches that we have eternal security once we are saved. We are placed in the hand of Christ and in the hand of the Father. So I'm going to show him this verse, and I'm just going to let him know that God is not going to let him go. Amen. He is saved forever. So John 10 and verse 27, Taven, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So, Taven, the Bible says that once we get saved and once we put our faith in Christ, that spiritually we are put in the hand of Christ and we are put in the hand of God. And sometimes I'll take off my ring if I'm showing someone this verse and just put it, clasp it in my hand. And I'll say, Taven, I've got a 6-year-old daughter, Finley. Now, if I have this ring in my hand and I do not want her to get it out of my hand, do you think Finley's going to be able to get this out of my hand? Probably not, because I'm bigger than her. I'm older than her. She can't get it out. So, Taven, here's what's exciting. You just put your faith in Christ. So right now, the Bible says spiritually, you're in God's hand. You're in the hand of Christ. You're in the hand of the Father. And no one can take you out of God's hand. And that's very helpful. A new convert is probably has something in their life that they're battling with or something that they're dealing with. They will really be put at ease to know they're saved and they're saved forever. So a very helpful thing to show someone who's newly saved is that eternal security. Now, if I am going soul winning and if the Lord has allowed me to lead someone to Christ and I have shown them a verse about eternal security, I will then encourage them to come to church and I will tell them about our church. And the reason I do that is when I was in Bible college, Brother C.W. Fisk taught soul winning and he encouraged us to give the new convert one step to take at a time. He would always tell us, give a new convert one step, give them one spiritual step. So if I lead someone to the Lord, I encourage them to go to church. And then the next visit and the follow-up visit, if they come to church on a Sunday, I will then talk to them about baptism. That way I'm giving them one step to take at a time. Occasionally, somebody will get saved and they'll ask about baptism right away. And that's exciting. The man that walked the aisle on Sunday, Jarrett, who accepted Christ as a Savior, he walked right up to me in the lobby and said, hey, can you tell me about baptism? And that was a blessing. I was thinking, praise the Lord. That's an evidence of salvation. He's saved. Now he wants to learn about baptism. So in that case, since he asked about it, you know, I explained baptism to him. But some verses to show someone about baptism and explaining baptism to a new convert. Number 10 in your handout, baptism identifies us with Christ. And I will show him Matthew 28 and verse number 19. So, Taven, since you asked about getting baptized, I'm going to show you a couple of verses about that. I'm glad you asked. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So, Taven, Jesus told the disciples to go and tell people how to get saved. And then after they got saved, they were supposed to get baptized. Baptism identifies us with Christ. And I will use my wedding ring as an example, and that's a good illustration that people can easily connect the dots. So, Taven, what do you think this ring represents?
Marriage.
Marriage, you got it. And so this ring is a symbol of my love for my wife, Abby. So she gave me this ring and promised to be my wife. I gave her a ring, promised to be her husband. So this ring identifies that I'm married to Abby. And I wear this ring as a symbol of our relationship. So when somebody gets baptized, it's basically an outward symbol that says, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and now I want to live for the Lord. It identifies us with Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. So I will also encourage them to get baptized soon after they get saved. Number 11, baptism should take place soon after salvation. And Acts 2:41, we see that example in the book of Acts. So, Taven, you do not have to wait for several weeks to get baptized. You don't have to go through a class or anything. In the Bible, when somebody got saved, they would encourage them to get baptized soon after their salvation. So in Acts 2 and verse number 41, the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And I'll explain to the person, you know, Peter was preaching in the city of Jerusalem, and there was thousands of people there, and it was only 40 days after Jesus had died on the cross. And all these people believed what Peter was saying about Jesus. They believed the gospel. They believed the same thing that you did. And they made a decision to trust Christ. And Taven, they took them on the same day and baptized them. So they baptized them right away. So we do not baptize that quickly at our church, but we encourage folks on the next Sunday. We have everything ready to go to get baptized. And then number 12 in your handout, baptism is a symbol of the gospel. And I will show him the first part of Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And Taven, this verse is talking about the fact that baptism is a picture of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And I'll explain to him that there was three things that Jesus did for us on the cross. Of course, Jesus was crucified on the cross, and then Jesus was buried in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, and then Jesus rose again. So, Taven, we have the tank of water. We have the baptistry. And so if this arm represents the tank of water, somebody steps down into the water. So you have the water and the person standing in the water. What shape are my hands making right now?
Cross.
A cross. And then a person goes underneath the water. So when someone's standing in the water, it is a picture of Jesus dying on the cross. And then when a person goes underneath the water, it is a picture of Jesus being buried in the tomb. And then when somebody comes up out of the water, it's a picture of the resurrection. So baptism is a symbol of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And baptism is very exciting because it is a step of faith. It is us taking the next step for God. And when someone gets baptized at our church, Taven, people are excited. You know, people are glad because that's an evidence that you've accepted Christ. It really helps people to understand what to do at church if they are getting baptized. So I will walk them through what they need to do if they are planning on getting baptized the next Sunday. So, Taven, we have everything ready to go at our church. We have robes. We have towels. Our baptistry has a heater, which is really a blessing. So the water is nice and warm. So if you would like to get baptized this Sunday, the only thing you need to do is bring a change of clothes in a bag. And folks usually bring a T-shirt and a pair of shorts, and they put that in the bag. And then at the end of the service, we have an invitation, and people can come forward and pray. If the Lord spoke to their heart during the message, they'll come forward and pray. As soon as pastor says heads bowed and eyes closed, you can come forward. And a man in our church, Brother Catterman, I'll introduce you to Brother Catterman on Sunday. And he will take you to the changing room and show you, you know, where the towels are and the robes. And when you put the robe, so you'll change into your, you know, shorts and T-shirt. You'll put the robe over that. The zipper for the robe goes in the front. Trust me. When I don't come out right away, sometimes we're having zipper malfunctions back there. Amen. So anyway, the zipper is in the front on the baptism robe. And let's see here. I'm gonna go back to my notes. Maybe skip the part about the zipper. That's too much information. During the invitation, you know, they come. You just come forward. I'll take you to Brother Catterman. He'll take you back to the changing room and get ready to go, and that'll be great. So would you like to do that this Sunday? Would you like to get baptized?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll have everything ready to go, man. I'll be praying for you. I'm glad. Okay, thank you. You can have a seat. Thank you. Give Taven a hand. He was a blessing tonight. Amen. Amen. It's very exciting when you've shown someone the plan of salvation. And when I get to the end of showing someone the gospel and you can see in their eyes that they want to get saved, it's so exciting when somebody prays and accepts Christ as their Savior. It's so exciting that God allows us to tell people the greatest news that there is. There is no greater news than the gospel. In the month of October, the ladies knocked on a door in Bradley and invited a man to church. He came to church. He came on a Sunday night. He came an hour early to the service, and then he came back at the right time. And he was sitting out here, and it was a communion. It was the Lord's table service. And he was sitting right over there where Brother Tim is sitting, I think. And in the service, he was weeping. During a Lord's table service, he was weeping. And during the invitation, he slipped out, went in the lobby. And Brother Joe caught him, and he was like, hey, you know, he was talking to him. He saw the man was weeping. Brother Joe talked to him for a minute. He went in the restroom, and, you know, he blew his nose. He came back for the invitation, and I had helped serve the Lord's table that night. And in the lobby, Brother Joe said, Brother Alan, he said, hey, there was a guy in there, and he told me where he was. And Brother Joe was being really serious. He's like, get in there and witness to that guy. And I said, yes, sir. And I am serious. I just went right to him. I'm like, man, this guy must. And, you know, I talked about icebreakers. I couldn't think of any icebreakers. I was totally struck out. I walked up to the man, started talking to him. I think I talked to him for 60 seconds. And I was like, has anyone shown you how to be born again? And he said, no. And I said, can we go into my office for a couple minutes? Can I show you some verses? And I started showing that man some verses. And he started weeping immediately. He started weeping. And I thought, man, this guy's going to get saved. This is a blessing. We get to the end of the plan of salvation. And I said, do you want to pray and accept Christ? And he said, no. And I was taken back. I was like, whoa. And I said, well, why? And he said, because I've really messed up my life. He said, I've really messed up. And he was broken over some things in his life. And he was weeping. And it was such a blessing. I went to John chapter 4 and showed him verses, Brother Bragg, about the woman at the well. and he saw the Word of God. And I said, hey, I know that you've made some mistakes, and he shared with me some of the things that happened. But I said, hey, look at this person. You haven't done all this. And you know what Jesus said to this woman? He wanted her to get saved. And he looked at that and he saw the Word of God. And he realized that if Jesus wanted that woman to get saved, then Jesus wanted him to get saved. And he prayed and asked Christ to save him. And folks, I'm telling you, it's such a blessing that God allows us to share the gospel. If you witness to someone and they get saved, God writes their name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God begins to build them a home in heaven. They become a part of the family of God. And the last word I want to leave you with tonight is the word gospel. The gospel is the good news. And there is no better news that somebody can hear than that God loves them and that Jesus has done everything to make it so they can get saved. And God has given that to us. We have the gospel. And I want to leave you with this thought tonight. This year in 2022, God wants you to tell someone the gospel. There is someone that needs you to share with the gospel with them. What a privilege. What a blessing. And when somebody gets saved, when God allows us to just show someone how to get saved, it's such a blessing when someone receives the gospel. That's the lesson for tonight. Let's go ahead and stand and heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank you for listening. And I hope there was something that was said tonight that can help us in our soul winning. And I'll turn it over to Pastor.